Well, last week, Rob Herzhoff and I were at the ARC conference in London. We had a very interesting interview there, which has been watched by many people. But now we can have a look back at that and some other major issues that are happening in South Africa. While we were there, they decided to cancel the budget. Yeah, I mean, that's like off the charts ridiculous, isn't it, Rob? I've been to budgets since I was a young reporter, and that I even remember a chap called Owen Horwood and the budget that he presented whenever it was. Never before has South Africa had a budget cancelled, and it seems sheer incompetence. But maybe that's me looking at this in a way that is somewhat prejudiced. What's your take on it?
Look, I think Enoch Godongwana is a professional, and he's a good finance minister, but he's trapped in the ideology of the ANC. There's no one in the ANC that is a true leader. It's not Cyril. He's got just pulling 30 consultants together and sending them off at huge expense to come back with a report that nobody reads. You know, he's not a leader. He's spineless and he's useless. And I know members of the cabinet, the non-ANC members, who said Cyril has never made a decision in his life. Yeah, so that's who we have as president. Enoch knows exactly what needs to be done. And it isn't raising taxes, adding to VIT. It's cost cutting. They've got to cut costs. They've got to fire 200,000 civil servants. The bloated bureaucracy of this country, the money draining state-owned enterprises need to be privatized. It's very, very obvious. And this morning I was chatting to my wife and she was going, you know, this is ludicrous. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous talking about wealth taxes and VAT hikes. They don't work. At this point, you're just going to have taxpayers further exiting the country. What does work? Well, if you understand business, which nobody in the government seems to do, they've never made money other than maybe Gate and McKenzie and one or two of the DA people. If you understand business, and you have a company that is collapsing, a company that is actually about to fall apart with too much debt, way too much cost, and lack of profits, no growth, either the company goes bust and ceases to exist, or a turnaround specialist, and there are these people, come in, buy the company at 10 cents on the dollar, and turn it around in short order. And when I say in short order, they do things immediately. The minute they have bought the equity, they go to the debt holders and they say, your debt is worthless. I'm not paying you interest. I will pay your money back, maybe, if I can turn this company around. And you're going to forego interest for a period, 2, 3, 4 years, at which point you'll get your money back if I can get my work done. And he or she gets the deal signed with the debt holders. So debt ceases to be a problem for the time being. The turnaround person is given the time to fix the company. And that happens on day one. The equity holders basically got 10 cents on the dollar. They're gone. And this person owns the company. What's the first thing they do? First thing they do is fire most of the management. They just get rid of them. They fire the second level of management. And they sell off or close down as quickly as possible the divisions of that company that either aren't making money or never will make money. And this happens in the first few days. It's like a knife, or as Javier Milei would have, a chainsaw. And that is what happens immediately. Cut costs to the bone. Get rid of debt for the time being. Say bye-bye to the equity holders. Fire management, sell divisions. And that is the only way you can catch this falling knife. Now, South Africa is in the same position. It's a failed state. It's a company that's about to go bankrupt, always bankrupt already. And you can't borrow money. They're not going to lend this country any more money. If they do, the IMF will come in, which would actually be a good thing because the IMF will force upon South Africa these turnaround issues that I'm saying are essential. And the bloated bureaucracy in South Africa, these civil servants that are doing nothing and being paid a fortune, we need to fire them. 200,000, gone. We need to take our 32 ministries. And I keep saying, what a joke. This is how pathetic Cyril is. 32 ministries. Merge some, get rid of some, shrink it down to, let's be generous and say, 16 ministries, halve the number of ministries. You get rid of a massive number of useless civil servants that are asking for the budget, spending money they don't need to spend, wasting taxpayer money. And you just got to fire people. We need to create economic growth. And what we desperately need at the government level is someone to say, this isn't working. This racist and anti-business socialist government is never, ever, ever going to fix the economy or the country. Ever. The ANC has failed. Failed, failed, failed. We need a complete change of direction. And instead of having more government, more socialism, and more race-based laws, we need to go the other direction and free the economy up. That's the only way we're going to save this. We need a turnaround specialist. And I don't see anyone's putting their hands up from the ANC side.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious when you unpack it like that. I remember a conversation I had with John Steenhuisen probably 18 months ago where I asked him, I said, what happens if you win the next election? He said, well, then the hard work starts because we need to do pretty much what you've just outlined now. We are overstaffed in the state service. They've been overpaid for decades now. And the thing that I suppose irks many South Africans, and we can talk in a moment about the SRF's latest poll, is that instead of cutting the costs, this government, Enoch Godwana and co, and I maybe have a different view on his competence to yours, want to increase VAT. So it's, well, we won't deal with the issue. We'll push up the VAT. Let the public now give us this money so that we can pay the civil servants more, not grasping the nettle. And Rob, the reality is, you know, I know that when taxes go up, people start dodging. There's a whole group of people where I come from in KZN who do not pay VAT. They don't pay any tax anyway, but definitely not VAT. And this is spreading. This virus is spreading. So you get that thing called the Laffer curve, where you push taxes too high, and then suddenly you actually get less than you got at the previous tax rate. And that kind of just basic economic truism hasn't landed.
South Africans have PTSD. You know, every day there's more and more bad news. And, you know, people are suffering from complete stress, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. I remember when I was first romancing my wife in New Zealand, I opened the New Zealand Herald, and on the second page it said, boys knock girl out of kayak. I wish I'd kept that. And I was like, what country do you have where page two has that news? Our page two, we don't even bother putting 83 murders and 50 rapes today, because we got worse news than that on page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'd be over the moon if we had boys knock girl out of kayak in our newspaper. Bit of good news.
The latest Social Research Foundation data has to be giving you some encouragement. ANC down to 32%. A lot of former ANC voters are now finally saying they will not vote. Well, they don't know who they're going to vote for. Not in the past, they automatically voted for the ANC. So the voters are seeing what's going on. People in this country are not stupid. They're completely aware. I don't know if they've got all the stress that you talk about. Many people do, of course, but the voters are already now indicating that there's a big change coming.
But that's a poll. That's a poll.
But they were accurate. They were very accurate ahead of the election, which tells you what's happening on the ground. And my goodness,
when's the next election? Alec, when's the next election?
Next year.
2027, sorry. Q1 2027. That's a year and a half.
Okay. Local government election.
2 years. 2 years. Mm.
So it could be earlier.
Let's talk polls, okay?
Let me ask you something here, Rob. Mm. Let me ask you something, because you know the guys in the government. If there were to be a vote of no confidence in Cyril Ramaphosa, that would spark an election. very easily, because if the non-ANC parties decided not to support this 40% party, then they would be in a position where nobody can run the country and you actually have to have another election. Is anyone thinking about that as an option?
Not right now. Everyone in the GNU is trying to hold the GNU together because they still fear the MK. EFF has disappeared for the time being in ICU. MK is still a threat, even though the SRF poll, and by the way, Gabriel Macon does an excellent job. I want a little shout out to him. I got to know him a lot better in London. What a smart young man. Well done, France Grenier, for bringing him on board. But if the ANC is at 32% and there's a 4% margin of error either way, there could be at 30, which is what Prince Michel has been saying for a long time, the ANC down to 30. The worry is those 15% undecided swing to MK. And I know MK is down at whatever Gabriel said, 12%. That gets them up to 25, let's say, give or take. The DA is probably at 25 and the ANC is at 30. Well, you still have the risk of the ANC desperately trying to cling on to power, teaming up with MK. And if you want to collapse this country, that's the way to do it. Let's talk about Cyril quickly. So Cyril's on his last legs, because the poll also said that until recently, Cyril added percentage points to the ANC's position. So if the ANC was at 40, Cyril would bring another 5%. It's actually gone the other way. Cyril's now a detriment to the ANC numbers. So he's not long for this world. But be careful what you wish for. You know, in the wings is that corrupt, dangerous, EFF-loving Paul Mashatile. Dangerous as hell. He's playing the long game and he's desperate for the job. And probably him versus Fikile Mbalula, who's, as we know, not very smart. I mean, these are the options we have. So in my view, and no one in the GNU is talking about Cyril being booted out, a vote of no confidence yet. They're not. They're trying to make a go of the GNU. And let's wait till March the 12th, which is bang in the middle of the BizNews conference when we get the next budget. And let's see what that says. But I think the ANC is fragmenting. The ANC is shooting itself in the foot. It's scoring own goals. It's falling apart. It would be wonderful if the Communist Party and the Kossatu pulled out and went their own way. And then the ANC is as good as done. It's not going to die. We still need to drive, you know, the stake through the vampire's heart at some point. But I would not want a national election quite yet. I think we can still shred the ANC further, boost the DA, the Patriotic Alliance, and with Corné Mulder taking over FF Plus, what good news is that? I think you're going to see a real fire in their belly and their FFF coming good, FF Plus coming good. And I think maybe later in the year, forcing a national election would be better because the ANC would be much weaker. The MK is a revolving door anyway. You've got one clown coming in and one clown leaving. It's better to be a little bit further down the line.
When we were in London and we got this exposure to the whole ARC conference, it confirmed a lot of what's happening internationally, where there's a definite move away from a really strange period that the world has gone through, where narrative was more important than fact, where microaggressions were suddenly very important relative to tanks rolling into your village, etc. But that wave surely is not going to escape South Africa. That people in this country must be aware that the world is changing, and perhaps that Chinese drip torture that we've had here for so long needs to be addressed in a bit of a dramatic way. I know what you say about be careful what you wish for, but do we just want to keep on going in the same direction? And that I'm talking to our politicians really in this way. Our politicians seem to be saying exactly what you're saying. Oh no, be careful of the MK. Be careful of the alternative to the ANC. But my goodness, there has to be a better way than what's it now, over a dozen years of GDP per capita going backwards, people, unemployment queues growing every year. At some point in time, there has to be an uplift.
I don't see it. Worldwide, there's this wonderful swing against woke ideology, against moronic leftist cultural Marxism, madness of net zero, which is bankrupting Germany and other countries. That's happening worldwide, particularly driven by America. But look at the UK. The UK is still loony bin. Germany still didn't vote the AfD beyond 20-odd percent. And they've still got the centrist parties refusing to team up with the AfD, which is moronic. Australia still has a crazy leftist. You still have, you know, the juvenile narcissist Trudeau in Canada. And South Africa, you know, Wilkinson is still fighting CRT in schools with no support. The IRR and Free Market Foundation are trying their best with Sakaliga Solidaritate AfriForum in fighting madness on the left. And there's no one in the ANC standing up and saying, you know, the NDR and RET should be got rid of. They're still pushing this deranged, you know, tsunami forward. And then, you know, I still feel that BizNews, myself, R.W. Johnson, are the too few voices calling out the evil woke mind virus. The broad population are not standing up and being counted. They're not speaking out. So I think this, you know, madness of leftism that's being pushed by the likes of Daily Maverick, by the way, which is very anti-business, is still swinging in the wrong direction. I don't think the waves of common sense that the Trump Republicans and the ARC conference we're talking about is coming yet to our shores of South Africa. We're still too few lone voices.
Oh, ye of little faith. It's happening.
Oh, me of see, Rand, the Rand to 50 to the dollar.
Well, the Rand is holding, and we're seeing the BizNews viewership is just, it's rocketing. And it can't be rocketing if nobody's interested. We had in the last 28 days, 5.5 million videos were watched. I mean, these are proper numbers, Rob. So it's happening. People are going in that way. But I wanted to also ask you a little bit about you love Donald Trump. But now Donald Trump has actually vetoed a UN special resolution expressing outrage at Russia's invasion of Ukraine. In other words, he's saying, no, Russia wasn't wrong to invade Ukraine. This is hectic stuff.
Okay, so take the 100 things Donald Trump's done, okay? I agree with 90 of them. 90 out of 100 is a pretty good odds. Douglas Murray wrote a very good article, which I read this morning, I've forgotten where it was, where he said Donald Trump is wrong about Russia, wrong about Putin, wrong about Ukraine, okay? And I agree. Putin is bad. They did invade Ukraine. Zelensky is not a dictator, etc., etc. Okay, I agree with you on that front. But Trump is negotiating. He's playing a game. This is not an absolute. This is him sending a message, in my view, to Putin. We will negotiate with you. We will give you a break. But he's going to put his Putin terms on the table quite soon. So he's saying, I'm not listening to Zelensky in Europe. I'm an independent. America stands on its own. But he's going to put his terms on Russia very, very soon. And he's ready. He's just playing this carefully. So watch. This is in the process. It's not an absolute. He had to show Russia, look, I'm not listening to Zelensky. I'm not listening to Ukraine. I'm not listening to those pathetic socialist weak Europeans, they can sort themselves out. I'm in charge. But his conditions with Putin are coming. That's how he's playing it.
Thanks for that that perception of it. It does make it feel, I remember somebody who's very close to Trump telling me that you must not judge what he says factually, but look at the context or the direction that he's going. Because there's always something else going on. I suppose like any property mogul who is negotiating a transaction, they're not going to show all their cards up front.
And if he's nice and polite to you, you're doomed. Look how he's being polite to Starmer. Starmer's finished. It's over. That's the message. That's how Trump plays it. His conditions coming on Putin.
Rob, you wrote a very strong piece for BizNews this week about charity and the providing the or expressing a view that we should not be giving to charity in South Africa because this is propping up the ANC. Now, just before we go there, I'm not sure how aware you are that charity is a big business in South Africa, that during the time that I was in the corporate environment, I discovered to my horror that about 20% of the money that the company was giving to a particular charity went to the person who came and had tea with me, who they, in other words, facilitated the transaction. So to start with, there are a lot of vested interests with charities who'd scoop off the top. So you think you're giving 100 rand to some charity. Well, actually, you aren't. You're giving 20 rand to the person who's doing the marketing for it. So that's a starting point. But your argument was based much more powerfully than that. Just unpack it for us.
Look, firstly, you know, when you see Trump and Elon Musk collapsing USAID, and then you look at where the USAID money's gone, it is horrific. I'm not even going to give examples, but it's ballerinas for Hamas, you know, and then the next minute these people go and attack Israel. It's insane. So if you take that down to the South Africa level, and, you know, maybe I'll take a little clap back at Mark Lubner, who said Rob Herzog is wrong. Let me just say something. The Lubners have been amazing. They've had their Africa Ticken, extraordinary charity that's been going for decades. But Mark, have you ever given money to the DA or Freedom Front Plus, Patriotic Alliance, or for that matter, to the Free Market Foundation or the IRR? Have you? You've been raising money for charity for a very, very long time. Have you ever asked those charities to ensure that the recipients understand this is money from free market people and that they should vote when they get a chance to vote, if they vote, for free market parties? Why can't it be conditional, Mark? Have you ever given decent amounts of money, the Lubner family, to the DA, Patriotic Alliance, and others? And then I have two very good friends who are hugely successful, both live overseas, both have made a lot of money. I'm not going to mention their last names, but Peter and Stephen. Both of you have given a lot of money, not through charities, but to charity in South Africa. You have schools, you have homes that you create for poor people, and you look after people, and it's wonderful what you do. But have you given any money to the DA or Patriotic Alliance, IRR, FMF? Have you? Not so sure you have. You might, now that I'm putting you on the spot. All you're doing is plugging the gap and fixing a problem that the ANC has created. And Discovery has a wonderful, wonderful program of filling potholes in Johannesburg. But who created the potholes? The ANC. So I just don't get it, folks. All you're doing is perpetuating poverty, homelessness, and hopelessness, and not solving the problem. We need to be giving serious money to the DA, Patriotic Alliance, FF Plus, Free Market Foundation, IRR, Afri Forum, Solidaritate, and people who are actually working and fighting day to day to solve the root cause of the problem, the ANC.
But what about your random acts of kindness? I remember a very moving conversation that we had where you say that every day you do something anonymously and some random act of kindness. Doesn't that does that fall outside of the area that you're criticizing?
In many cases, I'm really just picking someone up and driving them completely out of my way to drop them off because they're struggling with heavy loads, children, and haven't got the money to hop in a taxi. You know, what does that cost me? Half an hour of my life, half an hour of my time. You know, and it's not large amounts of money, but I do it every day. And that's for my heart, for my soul. Okay? And I'm sure, Stephen and Peter, you say the same thing about your charities. But I also give money to the DA and the Patriotic Alliance and, you know, IRR and good organizations like that. So And I'm going to try and mobilize offshore South Africans to do so. I've given up on picking on the corporates in South Africa. They're trapped, they're captured, and focusing on the enormous number of wealthy South Africans abroad, many of whom give to charity. And I'm trying to say to them, fine, if I'm not going to tell you not to give to charity, but I am going to tell you, you've got to step up now and try and, for once, give the good guys proper funding to get rid of the ANC. This is it. The country is about to collapse. We've got to get a change of direction going. You've got the money overseas. Let's get Patriotic Alliance to 20% and the DA to 30%, and the two of them can run the country with the FF Plus and Corne Mulder adding another 5, 6, 7%. Bang. If that doesn't happen, you're going to have to put way, way more money into charity every year, because they're going to be way more poor, more unemployed, more hopeless people. It's a tough thing to say that charity is actually not doing the job. Somebody had to say it.
And investing in South Africa, you've been calling the country uninvestable for a long time. Would an investment into South Africa not have a direct support? Or does that also go against your view that you've got to get the ANC out first? In other
words, you've got to get the ANC out. You've got to get rid of BEE. You've got to get rid of these 140 racist ANC laws. And you've got to get rid of socialism. This country is heading for economic collapse. Old Mutual says, oh, we've got a rosy 5 years ahead. Well, you've got Trevor Manuel, ANC acolyte, as your chairman. No wonder you're saying all this rubbish. I mean, I'm avoiding every single Old Mutual call, fund, or investment opportunity if they're that dilly. I mean, come on, Trevor, you've got to stand up and say, call out your old buddies at the ANC. We're on the edge of economic collapse. If these race-based laws, BEE laws, EWC, etc., continue, zero, there'd be zero foreign direct investment, even at 50 rand to the dollar. Even at 50 rand to the dollar, where it's cheap as chips to buy things in South Africa, it's still not going to be worth it.
So let's just go to one of the issues that you brought up, Corne Mulder being appointed as the leader of the Freedom Front Plus. Now, they've only got 6 members of parliament. They are a relatively small player, it would seem, from the outside. Why is it such a big deal?
Do you know, my wife was the first person to say that he's the only adult in the room politically. And now everybody's using that expression. Kate herself called an idol. I used it on air. Now everyone's saying it. But there's a reason. He is the only adult in the room. He's the longest serving member of parliament. He is a breath of fresh air. He is highly intelligent. He's wise. He's a true politician. He's a statesman. And he is going to fire up the FF Plus in a meaningful way. And I want him, FF Plus, to team up with the Patriotic Alliance, ACDP, maybe Inkatha, and create a proper center-right political party. Can you imagine Gayton McKenzie and Corne Mulder together? I mean, you just throw Helen Ziller in there and you've got the best, most unbeatable combination in South African politics. In my view.
He's also a protagonist for Cape Independence. Do you think that this could now become a bigger issue, given that people in the Cape have got to be shaking their heads at the recent developments that we've seen, stage 6 load shedding from Eskom? And incidentally, that 32% poll, or the poll that got the ANC at 32%, was before stage 6 load shedding and before the VAT 2 percentage point proposal.
Yeah, so Cape Independence is a wonderful dream. Can you imagine? I live in the Cape. Can you imagine this is an independent country? Fantastic. However, it's not impossible, it's improbable. But what it's really saying, what the message really is, and the DA and Jordan Hill Lewis have been saying this, is we want more devolution of power from the incompetent center. Do we need more federalization? We need to push decisions down to the provinces, to the cities, to the villages, to the towns. That's the top-down approach. We need to federalize, push decisions down. And we need also to adopt, what Solidaritet in AfriForum have been, and Saakalikas have been proposing, which is to state-proof ourselves bottom-up. And that's what we desperately need. If we're not going to be able to rid this country of this leftist, socialist, moron approach at the top, we need to push federalization. And that's really what Cape independence, it's the push all the way to the end of federalism. But if we can get things pushed down to the provincial level, I think we will have achieved the result of what people are saying is Cape independence without having to secede the Cape.
So to paraphrase what you have been saying in the last 10 minutes or so, these guys who are supporting South Africa by giving money to charities, give it to political parties who would then be able to drive greater devolution of power, which would be to everybody's benefit in the long term, because it is having the dead hand of Pretoria over Newcastle, or which is clearly happening there with the steel plant, or the Western Cape in many respects as well, is something that needs to be removed, and that will only be removed politically. Am I paraphrasing correctly?
Correct. Absolutely.
Rob Herzog, capitalist activist. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.